organization that believes every single girl on the planet has the right to an education and the right to go to school. And we work in Sierra Leone and Uganda in East and West Africa. And we've got a range of different programs that basically all with the goal in mind of educating girls so that they have choices in how they're going to live their life.
You mentioned that you believe every girl on the planet has to have the right to go to school or to have school education. Does anyone doubt that this should be the case, especially in Africa?
Look, I think it's difficult to kind of paint. You certainly can't paint a whole country as like this country believes in it and this country doesn't. I think it's really a case-by-case basis. And I know with the work that we do on the ground, especially around scholarships, there are some families where we may offer a girl a scholarship to go to school, and no matter how many conversations we have with them, they just don't think it's necessary for their girl to be educated. From my experience on the ground there, I think Uganda, the people in Uganda, I think are very open to the idea of educating girls and are certainly seeing it as something that has to happen. There was a little girl that I met there last year, Flavia, who said things are changing so much in Uganda because even though I'm a girl, they see me as being human now. And I think that kind of pointed to in the past, she had been seen as an object, and now she's definitely being seen more as a girl that has her own mind and can make her own choices. In Sierra Leone, I think it's slowly improving, but it really is. There are some people who just don't believe that, you know, girls deserve to go to school, they need to go to school. So we work on changing some of those attitudes and beliefs.
Your organization, One Girl, was inspired by a chance meeting with a 14-year-old girl named Brenda. Tell me about this girl and how did she become your inspiration to set up this organization?
Yeah, I was traveling across East and West Africa on a research trip, and I was hanging out at a hostel one day, and there was a knock on the door of my hostel, and stood up, walked over and opened the door, and there was this little 14-year-old girl standing there, and she actually didn't say anything. When I was like, hello, and she didn't say a word, and I tried to kind of prod her, I'm like, hi, you know, can I help you? And instead she just pulled out this piece of paper, it was a note from her school principal, and kind of pushed that into my hand, and the note said that she was an orphan and that she was looking for $40 to pay for her school fees for the term, and anything I could contribute would be greatly appreciated. And, you know, your first thought is like, am I getting taken for a ride here? You know, is this actually real? But the note had been signed by the school principal and it had the official school stamp on it. So my friend at the time, Dave, and I decided to give Brenda the $40 she needed for her first term at school. And from that, we basically just started to get to know her. So we spent a lot of time with her over that week. We were in Uganda. We went to visit her school, met her principal, met her younger sister, and basically started to see or ask ourselves the question, what would have happened if she hadn't gone to school and what would her life have looked like then? And that's when we started hearing stories, even from the school principal, of young girls who were being married off at, you know, 11, 12, 13 years of age, or girls having to sell themselves in brothels just to earn money to live. And with this little girl, Brenda, who'd kind of become my new little sister, I just thought I would never put her in a situation where that would be her reality. But, you know, for 60 million girls around the world, that is what they have to put up with. And that meeting Brenda was basically a catalyst for us wanting to do something about it.
You mentioned East and West Africa. Which country precisely are you talking about?
So I actually meant Brenda in Uganda. So okay. I met Brenda in Uganda first, and I'd just been in Sierra Leone prior to that, just a week before that.
Sierra Leone is where you have most of your projects at the moment.
Yes.
Why is the country one of the worst places in the world to be born a girl, according to what I've seen on your website?
Yeah, look, there are a whole bunch of things. So I guess one of the statistics that we kind of throw around a lot is a girl born there is more likely to be raped than she is to go to high school. There is a huge culture of sexual violence there, which is left over from the decade-long civil war that had gone on there. Very high incidence of sexual violence, of domestic violence. Almost a third of the girls are sold into marriage before they turn 15. And I know even in our programs, we've met girls who were 11 years old and engaged to be married. And you think of a young girl like that, she has no choice in that. You know, she's too young to make that decision. And then on top of that, they undergo female genital mutilation, which causes a whole bunch of challenges during childbirth. So 90% of the women are circumcised. So a woman in Sierra Leone, she's got a 1 in 8 chance of dying during childbirth as well, which is some of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world. So there are a whole bunch of statistics which point to being born a woman or a girl in that country is an incredibly challenging situation to grow up in.
So how do you go about trying to achieve your goal of helping to educate 1 million girls in Africa by 2020?
Yeah, look, it's slow, you know. It's one little bit at a time. And obviously you're from Ghana, and I'm sure a number of people listening, you know how change really does take time. And so we've got 4 different programs. So the first, we've got our scholarship program where we offer really vulnerable girls opportunities to go back to school. And there's about 320 girls in that program at the moment. We also work to equip girls with through informal education with business skills, because a lot of the girls, if they do get a chance to go to school, they're not going to leave and walk into jobs. So we train them to start their own businesses while they're still in school. We've worked with about 3,000 girls through our business training, and we're working with another 3,000 girls this year as well. Then we've got our sanitary pad program, and that was kind of an interesting one. We didn't know that was an issue until actually meeting Brenda, and she had just gotten her first period in that week or so we were in Uganda, and she actually didn't know what it was. She came to me freaking out, thinking she had malaria, and wanted me to take her to the doctor. And it wasn't until she had a chat with another woman who basically explained that, you know, this was part of growing up and this is her body. And because she didn't have access to sanitary pads, she ended up taking the whole week off school. And when she needed something to manage her period, she'd run to the school, steal toilet paper from the toilet, and then run back home. And when we conducted our surveys in Sierra Leone, we learnt that it wasn't just an issue for Brenda. This was a huge issue for many women across the developing world, not having ways to manage their period that are comfortable and simple and hygienic. So that's when we created LaunchPad, and that basically trains women how to sell affordable, biodegradable sanitary pads. And they also run education and sensitization workshops in their communities as well, educating women about the importance of menstrual health and hygiene.
All right.
So they're our kind of 3 programs, and then we've got our school program as well.
You mentioned giving scholarships to young girls to go to school. How is it done? Do you pay their school fees, or you build schools to educate their children?
We don't build the schools. We work with local schools. So obviously the quality of education will vary depending on where the girls are. But we work directly with the schools and with the community. So the community will help us select the girls. We've got a process that we go through, an interview process, and then a process where we actually confirm that the stories are real and we're not getting taken for a ride. And then we pay all of the school fees directly to the school, and we also purchase all the materials that the girls need as well, and they're given to the girls at the start of the school year.
And how do people get involved in helping one girl achieve this goal? Or in other words, how do you raise the money to help these girls?
Oh, there's so many different ways. On our website, which is onegirl.org.au, there's so many ways to get involved. You can sign up to be a graduation donor, so that's $25 a month to help put a girl through school until she graduates. We have an awesome campaign that we run every year called Do It in a Dress, where we ask people to do crazy activities wearing girls' school uniforms. And we've seen people do yoga in school dresses. They have big parties in girls' school uniforms, skydiving, basketball. And last year, that campaign alone raised almost $500,000. So that's probably one of our biggest ways to get involved. Mm. Or you can volunteer or sign up to become an ambassador for girls' education. And this year we're training 200 people to become ambassadors for girls' education, and that's really being on the front line and educating people about this issue and inspiring them to take action.
On your website, you mentioned what you call the School Awesomization Project.
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
Basically, we say we make schools awesome again. So one of the schools that this first came about when we went to one of the poorest schools that we work in, they didn't have toilets, and the head teacher shared with us that because the kids were going and using the bathroom. They had to go to the bathroom in the bushy area. He'd actually had six of his students being bitten by snakes because it was a very bushy area, and two of the kids had passed away because of their bites. So we were very small back then, and we didn't have enough money to say, yes, we can give you $3,000 to help build a toilet. But we applied for a grant through a group called the Awesome Foundation. They ended up giving us $3,000. We asked them to give us money to flush down the toilet, and they thought that was pretty funny. So they gave us $3,000 to build our first toilet. And that was the start of our school awesomization project. So we've just finished rebuilding two schools, so we only work with existing schools who have pretty poor infrastructure that the government's threatening to shut down, and we either rebuild schools, build toilet blocks, and that's where that program's at today.
So where are those schools, Uganda or Sierra Leone?
They're both in Sierra Leone. So there's a community called Mugbath Line and another one in Ronyeta, which is a very remote community in the Tonkalili district. So they're the two that we've done now. Moving forward, we're probably not going to be building schools, but focusing more on toilets, just because that seems to be a pretty big need. And it's something that we can, doesn't cost a huge amount of money, take a lot of time, but has a really big impact on attendance and kids wanting to actually go to school.
All right, before you go, can you please give us again your website address and if there's a contact telephone for anyone who's probably interested in helping?
Yeah, sure. So our website address is onegirl.org.au. So it's onegirl.org.au. On the contact page there, you've got phone numbers if you want to call the office. And the other campaign page is doitinadress.com. So if you want to get involved, wear a school dress, have a bit of fun and raise some money to educate girls, that's just doitinadress.com.